What's up, everybody? First episode of Facts Only. I'm Casey Pazalia, creator of SlackyBrown.com. With me, for the first time ever, my main man from By George, B-Rye. What's up, man?
What's up? It's Brian Lawrence. You can follow me personally on Twitter at Larry Law, and then also, starter of the By George Podcasting Network. Always follow us on everything, By George, GMU. Casey, excited. This is our first ever Facts Only podcast, and I'm excited to get to know you. I mean, we never really, hung out before. We've talked on the phone once. We kind of kicked it at a Mason game, and now we're just throwing a podcast together. So I want to use this first episode as a chance to get to know you, and to our listeners out there, to this first episode, you're going to kind of get an inside look into a relationship building. So, tell us a little bit about Slacky Brown, how you got to Fairfax, and do you smoke jacks?
It's completely, there's some betting here and there, but it's local DMV sports, movies, local concerts and shit like that.
And where'd you move from?
I moved from New York, dude.
In New York State or so that's in the bright lights?
That's the thing. When you say New York, they're like, why'd you leave, man?
Yeah.
I'm like, New York is fucking huge, and New York City is like a little itsy-bitsy dot down on the bottom. There's right. So much upstate New York. It's crazy, and I was in like the worst part of upstate.
Buffalo?
By Woodstock. Like where the original Woodstock Festival was.
I'm familiar because my brother lives up in the Catskills. So sometimes.
Oh, yeah. So like if you're being like, proper, I'm from the Catskills.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it's not too trashy. You got some cool
Shout out. You got some
cool lake communities down there. Couple cool little towns that are coming like back as New York City peeps move in.
That's the thing. Like in the summertime, it's rad, and there's like amphitheaters and shit. But
yeah, it's pretty awesome that this guy moves down from the Catskills and is covering Mason basketball, and that's where we met. So what drew you to, covering Mason games?
So when I got down here, it was like, being up from the Catskills, there's really no big sports programs where I'm from. Within like an hour and a half is the closest thing. So I followed Rutgers, Syracuse, but there's no big time team. So when I got down here, having a team that was in the Final Four, a decade before was big. It was a big deal for me. So I started following them, and I couldn't really find a ton of coverage. Like, there's no newspaper in Fairfax. There's no, the local radios don't really talk about them that much. So I was a little bit bummed out, honestly, because I kind of was hoping for, like, a really engaged fan base. And I didn't see that much. So I was all gung-ho about it because I'm a sports nut. So that's when I started, incorporating Mason into my writing, and it's been one of the best things I've ever done, because there is a Mason community. You just have to go find it.
And the goal now is to kind of not create the Mason community, because it is there, but just kind of help all the people who are currently trying to bring it together, just kind of help them out. And so I've been joining a Mason alumni events. I am a Mason grad, grew up in Burke, Virginia. So I am DMV through and through. I've now been in DC 8 to 9 years. So, I'm not ever leaving. The discussion is, are we going to leave DC? And by we, I mean my wife, my son, and I, and going to move back to the suburbs. I'm trying to put my foot down and saying, hell no, keep me in the city. I need to get myself back to Northwest DC in the center of it all. And that's why, Slacky Brown is awesome to me, because you do cover music, you cover local shows, and that's something that you're going to hear on the Facts Only going forward. Is just the shows that we've been to, shows that are coming up in our area, and so I'm super looking forward to that. I used to live in the hub of DC music, being near that U Street area. There's just so much between U Street Music Hall and 930 Club and Black Cat and
it's DC 9
and Songbird. It's just like it's an explosion of music. So excited to get to know you a little bit further. My name is Brian Lawrence. I started the By George podcast, which is now morphing into the By George Podcasting Network. Think The Ringer, right, Kate? So that's what you were telling me last night.
Yeah.
They kind of throw a bunch of different podcasts.
Channel 33 on The Ringer, they throw all their podcasts into one stream.
Yeah, and so we're kind of trying to do the same thing. We got other podcasts dropping. But, you know, being a married man, you know, I'm free at 10 o'clock at night. You know, my wife's in bed, my kid's in bed, and I got some free time to chat with you, Casey. And so talk to us. One thing I learned as you're doing some sports writing for bettors, and so are you a betting man yourself?
So yeah, I used to be real hardcore about it, but now I do. I put like $50 into my Bovada account, which is an online sports book, and that'll last me like a couple months, just making $5-$10 bets here and there. Actually, me and my girlfriend shot over to the West Virginia sports book, the one that just opened.
Yeah.
For New Year's Eve, and that was the first time. I've been betting on sports for a decade, and that was the first time doing it like 100% legit at a sports book.
So you never been to Delaware or Vegas?
No, never been to Delaware or Vegas. But I was like, before I moved to Fairfax, Delaware was on my my radar because I was just specifically because they have, you know, some sort of sports gambling.
And the nice thing about Delaware is that they kind of already had things in place. So then as things are getting more decriminalized or just allowed, then, you know, you can now they already had the infrastructure. So
yeah, for sure.
That was a cool thing about Delaware. But it's going up quick, man, with the MGM and now DC. Like, they're talking about Capital One being the biggest sports book in DC. I mean, I think this that whole market's going to explode, and I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, they're NBC, Washington in general is kind of on the forefront of all this stuff. The Wizards partnered with NBC Sports Washington, had the first like gambling-centric game production. Did you see that recently?
Yeah,
for the Wizards game. So that was really cool.
They had all the stats on the side, and you could place bets. I mean, once it becomes more integrated, you can place bets through the TV, I believe. I mean, we're entering a realm that, quite frankly, I didn't think was possible. I mean, I'm not a huge betting man. I have an account. I'll bet here and there. I'll play some poker. I'm actually going to Vegas for the first week of March Madness, so that should bring some interesting content.
Double down, Brian.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, only in roulette. I mean, I pretty much just stay... I'm actually just kidding. I'm pretty much primarily blackjack, but when I get hammered, I head straight to the roulette table.
Oh, yeah.
But I've never been for college basketball for March Madness specifically, and I'm super stoked. It's for a bachelor party. It's going to go so hard. And being a married father, you know, you take
playground, man.
Yeah, you take those opportunities when you get them. But again, to the listeners, this is facts only, brand new podcast, first episode, brought to you by Casey of Slacky Brown and Brian of By George.
The debut.
Yeah, episode one. So going to get into our next segment here called Fun Facts, where we're each going to talk about something that we've been kind of thinking of and watching over. Casey, why don't you kick us off?
So like I mentioned earlier, coming down here and being so close to a real big-time sports program was a big, big deal for me, just because, you know, you want to follow something, you want to be a part of something. One of the biggest things about sports is people like their local team because they want to feel a part of the community. And Fairfax, the DMV area, Northern Virginia, is having another big-time team come to the area. They broke ground on a stadium in Loudoun County for a USL team, Loudoun United FC. Like, it's not Major League Soccer, but some of the teams in the USL are just as big. The team in Cincinnati gets over 30,000 fans per game.
Really?
Like, this is big time soccer. Yeah. Their place will be under 10,000, but...
And what would incentivize someone to go play for them as opposed to playing for the MLS?
Well, it's a feeder system. So this is essentially the capital city go-go of...
Right. I see.
The Major League Soccer.
Got it. So not battling in any type of way.
Yeah, their union has actually been pretty recent. I think over the last few years they finally joined together, because before that it sort of was, it was never at the level of Major League Soccer, but it was kind of, it wasn't affiliated at all.
Where is this stadium going? Because so I'm a realtor. That's my main job. I do all this stuff on the side. So if you're buying a house, let me know.
It's in Leesburg.
My brokerage is stationed out in Ashburn, and they just, they kind of got, you know, they were kind of right in the thick of, you know, Ashburn popping off. And so I still head out there from time to time, head out to the breweries, Topgolf, things like that. Obviously my office is out there. I'm interested because, you know, they talk a lot about the Redskins moving out there because they have the practice facility out there. And, you know, you kind of, like, Redskins were kind of early on that. That, you know, they got out to Ashburn when it was still some farmland. And even before, you know, all these kind of server buildings went up for all these tech companies. I mean, Ashburn is the number one internet hub in the world. In the entire world, it's the number one internet hub. So people, I mean, Microsoft is bringing an entire community, and they're going to build like a little headquarters out in Ashburn. I mean, it's kind of the underground IT area of the East Coast, and we're just
Silicon Valley of the
right, but you know, not as pretentious and more like undercover. So it's interesting to watch, and my brokerage kind of hit the ground running right in that area because that's where the guys that started it were from. But it's just crazy to see the development.
Well, get this, because this is like an interesting thing, and this is something that is just the dynamic of me and you. I only know this place as like booming.
Right.
When you were growing up, what was it like in like the outskirts of towns and stuff?
So for Ashburn, I mean, we would go out, like I would go out there pretty much for every single training camp. So pretty much at least through my high school years, as soon as I could drive, I would head out there. And there just wasn't anything else around. Of course, it did have, you know, the buildings with no windows, which who knows what's going on inside. But, you know, it was just kind of desolate. It didn't have much going on. And they just exploded with shopping centers. And the difference that they made was they brought restaurants and stuff from D.C., from Arlington, things that were original to this area. And they just started moving them out. I'm thinking about like a Shake Shack, which is actually New York City, but kind of came to D.C. and then spread out into the suburbs. Kava, which
Mellow is Mushrooms and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, they pulled a Bar Louie. And they made just the area super cool and super different. It wasn't just your TGI Fridays or Applebee's or whatever the hell. So that's kind of what I grew up in, the suburbs. And kind of, you know, in my late 20s and 30s have I definitely seen the outskirts just really invest in a quality product. And I think that's why you see people continuously moving out there.
And I think it's going to grow out even farther. Like, I don't know, like the Warrentons and the Purcellvilles. It's not going to stop. People are continue moving here. So
yeah.
It's not going to stop growing.
And Purcell's super cool because it has a ton of wineries and breweries and cideries out there. And it's just like, if that's your vibe, and I can tell you with kids, and there's definitely a debate right now of do you take kids to breweries and stuff like that, man. If they got an open field, I'm taking my kid to the brewery all day long. Sit back, enjoy some lagers, and let my kid burn
run
energy
around,
right, so like
make himself tired.
So there is a lot to like about moving out there, and that's why it interests me, the soccer team, especially if there's something like, you know, it doesn't have to be walking distance, but you can go have a couple drinks and drive from the, you know, the bar to the you know, of course we do not condone drinking and driving, but if you have one or two in 2 hours, you should be okay. And so that's why I think Loudon is super cool.
I'm sure they'll have some drinks there too. I'm not that sure if.
Yeah, they have to.
Yeah, some kind of dope restaurants.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I mean, so you follow this league? Like you paying attention, or is it because you like the MLS?
No, I'm not a huge soccer guy at all. But I'm just So last year they had a semi pro team move to that area, Leesburg, at the Crop Metcalf field there, that big facility. And that was pretty cool. It was Northern Virginia United. It was pretty cool, but there was like probably 300 people there. This is going to be like, it's going to dwarf that scene.
That's awesome.
So it's just dope to have like something big come here. I like when big brands associate themselves where I'm living. So I'm all about that.
It's cool when people like embrace kind of those feeder leagues too, because then you're really rooting for like the guy who's not getting paid and is just doing it because it's their passion and they want to get to that next step.
Yeah. They in DC this year was the first year that they had the go-go. I don't know if you've been out to a game.
I haven't.
It looks like no one's going, unfortunately.
I've been reading all about that that venue, though, because it also is a concert venue, and it's one of the first venues, actually maybe the first that I know of, over across the bridge into the Anacostia area, and it's kind of connected to this initiative of 11th Street kind of connects Capitol Hill and Anacostia.
Yeah, man. I was reading about it today on one of the sites, and I don't know what the hell Anacostia is, but it mentioned that like three times.
Yeah, it's basically DC. No one really thinks about DC on the other side of the Anacostia River.
Oh, is that by the stadium, by Nats Park there?
So that's southeast DC and southwest once you get to that waterfront area. But across that river is a massive part of DC proper.
Is it like the hood?
Yeah, it's pretty hood. I mean, you don't want to look up crime stats there for sure. But at the same time, it's also getting developed and businesses are moving there. And now you're seeing the Mystics and Go-Go playing there. It's a practice facility for the Wizards. And they have concerts. So, I mean, I think, you know, you kind of see all of D.C. turning over, quite honestly. I moved down to 8th Street area. A little bit grimy. The whole block kind of, no matter what race they are, we'll talk about how, you know, it's kind of cleaning up.
Give it a few years, man. It'll be, like, gentrified.
Yeah, so I bought a place over here, so I'm excited to follow the real estate.
Money bags.
Real estate now. But, you know, Anacostia area is, at the same time, it also is super cool. I mean, my wife and I headed over there a couple times to eat. And the 11th Street Bridge, they're going to build this kind of walking bridge, kind of interactive, have an amphitheater and all this stuff. So super cool what DC is doing. And I'm excited to, like you're saying, just continue to provide sports venues. If 300 people are going, 300 people are going. You know, if you're a good product, more people will go. And the more that we have, the more that gets people out and just kind of liking sports in general. And the one cool thing that I find in sports is it's an opportunity for anybody, no matter what political party you identify with or whatever you do, you come together.
Unifier, man.
And you root. And so that's kind of what's gotten me into sports marketing. But not to travel too far away from the Loudoun news, but I got a fun fact. Fun facts is that February tonight, actually tonight, the city of Fairfax proclaimed February as the George Mason month. And so, you know, some people are like, oh my God, who gives a shit? It's huge, and I'll explain to you why it's huge. Mason and Fairfax City haven't always had the best relationship. Mason, you know, the city didn't want to necessarily be known as a college town. And that's fine. I get it. But they've done everything to not be considered a college town. And they've gone as far as to, like, allow developers to build $800,000 townhouses right off of campus, which clearly should have been off-campus housing, or just anything besides some luxury townhouse. And you just kind of, we've seen a lot of that up until now. And I think some of the more recent Mason Alumni Association and presidents have worked really hard to bridge that gap. And so one of the girls from the Alumni Association, Melissa, hit me up and was like, you know, did you see the news? Just dropped. February is Mason month. And so I don't know what that necessarily means yet. It happily coincides with Mason Homecoming, which I don't know if you've experienced yet, but the Giant Killer team throws a rager. My buddy's a Mexican, just kidding. He's just throwing together carne asada and just
tacos.
all this delicious food. I'm not sure where he's from. He's an American, but no. You know, he cooks great food, and so it's worth coming out to our homecoming event. And it's cool that it kind of, you know, I believe the city of Fairfax is sponsoring our homecoming this year, which is just kind of, it's different. You know, we're not used to kind of seeing Fairfax embrace Mason. But I think as we grow and they see the kind of culture that it's just like super unique, that so many different cultures and different countries are coming together right next to your nation's capital, they're like, you know what, eventually it's not just a commuter school and we have to embrace it.
Like, I don't want to go too far off, but when I first got down here, you don't really, like, I've been to a million college towns in my life. You know, State College, there's a ton of schools upstate where I've been to. And Fairfax does not look like a college town one bit.
No.
Like, normally you're going to see a strip of bars somewhere where you drive through at 10 o'clock at night and there's young kids everywhere. You don't see that around here. So and my girlfriend is growing up around here, and she always tells me that there's no real, you know, culture for the students like that. So it is such a big thing that they're actually embracing it now and kind of going towards accepting it a little bit.
What's your girlfriend's name and where did she grow up?
She grew up in Woodbridge. She went to Virginia, UVA. Her name's Victoria.
Okay.
So she works out in Tyson's, and she does a lot of hiring. She goes to all the job fairs at the colleges. She's going to Virginia tomorrow to do a job fair. So she does a lot of hiring. She gets a lot of Mason alumni that work for her.
You've seen it grow so much in the last 10 years, so it's kind of hard to talk trash about it now. I feel like it's kind of one of those negative stigmatisms that carries.
It's like a stereotype, or like how it, if that's how it came across in 2000. She graduated high school there, so, you know, to some people, it's like the closest college to them is always going to be like 13th grade or whatever.
Right.
But
that's unfortunately, I was a clown. So after high school, I didn't even try in high school. So I had to go to Nova, and it took me a while. I didn't go to Nova right away. I just kind of worked and partied and,
that's, you know, what I did.
And then I put myself through the community college locally and eventually ended up at Mason, after getting my associates. But you know, here I am, and I'm a part of the growing Mason culture at this point. Like, if you talk to pretty much anybody at this point, they know who, like, up in at Mason, they know who By George is. And if they don't, it's like a student, and, you know, they don't care. But as far as, like, you know, the president or the athletic director or most people at this point that work for Mason, at least Mason Athletics, they know who By George is.
Oh, 100%.
And so that's why I'm excited to kind of be a part of this integration into the city. Why? Because I used to live in Fairfax City. Loved it. You know, I didn't ever necessarily think I was going to move into D.C. Of course, I grew up loving it and visiting it and partying in it in the city. But my wife took a job and she gave me an opportunity to move into the city. And I had to. And I've loved it ever since. I've lived all over in Northwest and Southeast and now Northeast area. And I just love it. So I couldn't imagine necessarily moving back to Fairfax. But damn, am I in Fairfax a lot.
Yeah. And I don't want to sound like I was knocking. I am fully embracing the Mason culture, and I'm like trying to help grow it. It's just, you know what I mean, like with the Mason's Fairfax's layout isn't exactly like a,
oh, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's a commuter school that's now building out. Yeah. And the Final Four really helped fund a lot of that growth. But it, you know, there is some places, some all Chabims and PJ Skidoos that really do throw your kind of Thursday night, Friday night rage fests.
You, is that the University Mall? Is that, there's a couple bars in there. Do the students go there?
Yeah. TT Reynolds is like a live music. It's a New Orleans themed bar. It's super dirty. You eat your popcorn and peanuts, throw your shit on the ground. You know, that's just kind of your rage fest on certain nights. The thing about University Mall, and this is definitely a topic for another podcast for sure, we're going to be diving into different areas for you guys to go to and try out. And obviously, everyone knows University Mall, but there's some new places there. There's a Halal Guys. There's a Taco Bamba. So there's some
I went there. The greatest place ever.
Yeah, so we're going to try those. We're going to actually shoot some videos and record from those establishments directly. So look for Facts Only locally in around Mason. But those bars are not where kids are necessarily partying. It's more all Chabins and PJ Skidoos.
So if it's Thursday night, we're pre-gaming in our dorm or whatever, where are we going to have a good time?
So I think, you know, really the people who do it right at Mason get into a frat or sorority, and that just kind of explodes you into fun. If not, then you kind of need to, you know, make your way. The cool thing about the frats and sororities is they'll actually, there's actually a party right now of Mason alumni. Is they'll bus you from Fairfax campus to the GOAT in Arlington, which took over for a Hard Times in the center of Clarendon. And, you know, they'll bus you there and back for like $10. And it's like you can drink on the bus. And it's,
oh, wow.
You know, so, you know, of course, they're not advertising to people with fake IDs. But as long as you got one, you're good to go. And so there's a lot of that kind of stuff going on that it's what makes Mason unique. You can get to Arlington, you can get to DC, and you could have real parties. And yeah, it's not your frat row. It's not necessarily, and we still have that, but it's not, you know, it's not your campus feel. But the plus about it is all the different places you can get to super quickly. And Fairfax City has a couple spots. PJ Skidoo's and Ultra Beams are where people are going if they're staying locally on a Thursday or Friday night.
That's pretty cool, man. See, when you see it from the outside and you didn't go there, I went to a community college too, or three, and it's cool to get these like inside details and stuff.
It was voted like hottest girls, you know, by some publication, like hottest girls that year. I think it was 2008, maybe 2010. The thing about it is just super diverse. You don't know who you're going to run into. And that's kind of what Fairfax has become too. Not necessarily every single pocket of Fairfax, but you got, you know,
it's a melting pot, man.
Whole shopping centers that are completely ethnic. And you know, you have your Korean supermarket with your halal restaurant right next to it. So, I mean, you're seeing that, you know, when I was growing up, it wasn't necessarily like that in, you know, single family houses, but as people have progressed from, you know, the town housing living, you're kind of just seeing Burke become a melting pot in Springfield and all the areas kind of surrounding right inside or outside the Beltway. But again, just so everybody knows it and understands it and hears it, this is facts only.
F-A-X.
Casey and Brian. Any parting words before we go? Is there anything that we need to plug or discuss before we get out of here?
Mason at Dayton tomorrow. Huge game. Mason's 5-1 in conference. If they beat Dayton, it's going to be like, I'm going to throw a party here.
Yeah, so by the time you're listening to the podcast, it's probably today.
Oh, yeah.
So it's almost like it's almost like a little preview to that Dayton game. And talk to me, you know, that's a good way to end this. You know, we are both covering Mason basketball, and you know, we have on the same platform just Sunday dropped our Hey 10 A10 basketball podcast featuring.
I listened to it. Good guys.
Yeah, featuring Petey Buckets, who writes for us, and then also. Say again.
from Dodgeball.
Oh, and then also we got Grant from A10 Talk. So that's super cool. So are you following all the A10, or are you pretty much just kind of focusing on news at Mason?
So I have a master schedule of like Georgetown, Maryland, Virginia. I cover all the DMV sports and Mason. And then on the days where there's not a game, I plug an A10 game if there is one, or I plug another Big East game or something. So I do watch my fair share of other teams.
And you think we have any chance at Dayton?
Dayton's a good team, but, dude, I don't know how much you want to go in on, like, Mason basketball now.
We got about 2 minutes.
Yeah, 2 minutes. So Mason is the ultimate wild card. They have these spurts of they've been putting it together more often recently, but they have these spurts of 8 minutes, 10 minutes, where they look like no one can beat them. Unfortunately, sometimes it doesn't last the entire game, and that ends up shooting them in the foot. But if they can put an entire game together, I know Dayton's a tough place to play, but you never know, man. I'm not going to count this team out because they are the epitome of a wild card.
Yep, 5-1 in the A-10. Haven't really played anyone. I think combined wins is like 5 or 6 from all the A-10 teams we've beaten so far. So we will see. Guys, again, that's facts. How's that spelled, Casey?
F-A-X.
Facts only podcast. Thanks for taking part in our first ever episode. And expect shows, we'll say, every Tuesday night. We'll record it and drop it on Wednesday.